everyone. I'm Alan Wenzel, FreePod host, welcoming you to this extended interview. And today I'm pleased to be interviewing the Chief of Police for the City of Freeport, Chris Schenberger. Chris, thank you for your time and welcome to the FreePod interview.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me here.
You know, the last time we talked, Chris, about a month ago about doing an interview, since then, lots have changed in your world. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with you, Chris?
Right. So I recently announced that I am going to retire from the Freeport Police Department. It was a tough decision to make, but it's something that, you know, I took some time contemplating. Another opportunity came up for me. And after 27 years, I just felt that right now is the time for me to leave.
Well, Chris, this interview admittedly is going to take a little different direction since I know now that you are retiring here in a couple of weeks. And as a matter of fact, this interview will drop just about a day or two before your last day on the job. So if you're inclined, let me ask you a couple of questions, Chris, about your impending retirement. How does one come to a decision like this? You've been in law enforcement for 27 years, you've poured your life's work into being a law enforcement officer for the city of Freeport. And after 27 years, how did you know it was time to go in a different direction?
So I think, after you serve the amount of time that I do, you know, you really start contemplating, you know, what the next steps are going to be, especially when you turn 50 years old, which I am. That's the age of retirement.
You're just a young guy, yeah, Chris. Yeah.
And you have the years of service in, which is, I have 27, which is 20. And all that's defined by statute. It's not something that the city controls. It's
sure.
a statute, Illinois compiled statute, pension code. So I just felt, you know, that I was getting to be that age. You know, I get up in the morning, my knees don't feel the same and things like that. And it was actually back in July, I had a conversation with City Manager Boyer. I just let him know that, you know, I was really considering the possibility of moving on. I know he wasn't really thrilled about that, and I appreciate his support all these years, but it wasn't something that I was 100% sure about. I just wanted to give him some notice to let him know that I was thinking about it and to give me about a month or so to really, you know, make sure that that's the right decision for me and my family. So, about a month later, we reconnected and talked about it again. He wanted to know, you know, what my decision was so he could, you know, figure out what the next steps were going to be. And at that time, it was around the time I'd learned that we, were awarded, $630,000 from the, from Senator Dick Durbin's office in appropriations to upgrade our, technology upgrades here at the police department. So, I was like, well, you know, I put in for this. I worked hard for this. So I definitely want to stick around to see this through to fruition. So I just told them, you know, I want to make sure, you know, that we get this done. We get everything going in the right direction. And, you know, but I said, if something comes along, you know, I'm probably going to explore that opportunity. And recently, I was approached about a position. And it's just a good opportunity for me and my family. It gives me some chance to take a step back and maybe reorganize my priorities in life. I've always put the city and the police department first, and, you know, I've missed out on so many things in my life. And my family's been very supportive, and I'm not upset about that at all. That's just the way it is. And, you know, I owe everything to the citizens of Freeport, that allowed me to live the life that I've been able to live. And very thankful for that. But, you know, we just made the tough decision that I'm just going to separate and transition to something that's not in law enforcement.
Choosing to retire can be a tough decision. From personal experience, I know that when you really love what you do and you're still good at it, it's hard to walk away and take on a little different career path. And so kudos to you, Chris, for being able to do that and make that decision. It's not an easy one. I'd like to ask you some questions based on your announcement to retire. When you look back over your 27 years a career in law enforcement, what are some of the significant changes you've seen, not only in law enforcement in general, but maybe just in terms of law enforcement here in the city of Freeport?
Well, I think most importantly is, you know, the technology, how it's changed and evolved and continues to evolve. I mean, when I started, we were doing handwritten reports here. We had a different report management systems. And when we went to more of a digital reporting, in fact, we just transitioned to a different report management system. And now with AI, I mean, there's so many evolutions in technology that helps us do our job better. And that I think that's the main thing. I've also noticed, you know, with more emphasis on training with our younger officers, the academy time is extended. I think they're coming back more prepared and more professional and empathetic. I feel like, you know, people see that, that have interactions with our officers, especially our young officers, because we are so young. They're very professional. And it makes me very proud to know that, you know, they represent the Freeport Police Department.
So in the areas of technology, certainly, and in the areas of training, you've seen some real advances being made that helps better prepare folks for the career in law enforcement.
That definitely those two would stand out to me.
I'm curious, what do you say to a young person who's contemplating a career in criminal justice or maybe even in law enforcement? What words of encouragement do you give them based on your experiences, Chris, in the field? What do you say to a young person who says, I'd like to be a law enforcement officer? What words of wisdom do you give them?
Well, I can give you a personal, just a personal story. My son, he's 21 years old, and he, you know, took advantage of Highlands Career Tech program, which is a great program. It offers high school students a chance to get exposed to, you know, going to Highland and not just criminal justice, but other fields as well. And he's like, well, I think I want to be a police officer. And I said, well, hold on. You're still in high school. You can do whatever you want. And mm-hmm. He's like, no, this is what I've wanted to do since I was in seventh grade. And wow. I've known that, you know, it's not that I didn't want him to, but I just wanted him to be sure about it and know exactly what he's getting himself into. Mm-hmm. Been fortunate enough to see me through my career. Been a part of the police department in different ways. So, it's just something that he wanted to do. So you can't discourage it. I think you have to encourage that. And it's the same thing. You know, I've had young people reach out to me that have interest in law enforcement. And I think you just need to cultivate that interest, by ride-alongs and letting them, you know, get to see the inner workings of the police department to, you know, help make that happen for them.
Do you sense, Chris, and young folks, that you almost have to have a real commitment to public service and to doing public good as a law enforcement officer? That's something that you can't just hand to someone. It's got to be inside a person, doesn't it, to have that kind of commitment?
I mean, most definitely. I mean, this isn't a job. You know, you don't clock in or clock out. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically you do, but we're all on call all the time.
Right.
Something could happen where we need everybody here, or someone might call in sick and an officer may get a call at 4 o'clock in the morning telling them they have to come in.
You never really leave the job, do you?
Not really. No. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have that within you to succeed. Otherwise you're going to get burnt out and it's just not going to be for you.
Chris, what have been some of your most rewarding moments as a law enforcement officer? What are some things that you can point to and say, yeah, that's why I do this. That's why I did this all these years.
Well, I think there's been so many different cases and different things that I worked on throughout my career. But for me, the most rewarding thing was when I took over in 2023, and I have it written down in a notebook where we were 10 understaffed. We had 3 officers hurt. We had, I believe, 3 in training. Our deployable manpower was 31 officers. I mean, we were extremely bare bones, and we had no canines, no SRO. We had one detective. We were short in the dispatch center. Hmm. All that was just, you know, and it was kind of the way it was back then. But when I was able to take over, I made an emphasis on recruitment and retention. We had to change our culture in this building. If people don't want to come in here and come to work, especially when you're extremely understaffed, then they aren't going to stay. So, you know, I feel like I changed the culture. Mm-hmm. Some may disagree. I would believe most would agree. And that was one of my first things I said when I sat down with my staff after I became the interim chief. We got to change the culture here. We got to stop chasing people away. And, we were luckily able to attract local mm-hmm. younger people. Mm-hmm. And that's very mm-hmm. important. I have a sergeant here. He he was able to get a couple of guys that were on a football team, a college football team with his son.
Oh, cool.
And so, well, it was able to get one of them here and one of the officers here. And then his friend heard about how great of a place it works. So he applied here. So we've had some of that as well. So I think getting us closer to being what we can be staffing wise, we're still not fully staffed, but we're way closer. We're only 300 right now. You know, we were able to bring back two of our canine positions. We were able to bring back the SRO. We were able to bring it back more detective bureau positions. For a while there, we had two special victim unit detectives. So there was a lot of opportunities. We didn't have an administrative lieutenant for almost a year and a half. And that's just been a great addition for us. So I feel, and in our dispatch center, you know, we're fully staffed. So I feel that, you know, that's my proudest.
Real sense of accomplishment there.
Right. And, you know, there's still departments that are struggling to find people. So for us to be able to do that, because Freeport's, it's a demanding place to work. You know, we're busy and it's not like working in some of these smaller towns or, you know, that that don't have as much activity. You know, our officers work and it can be very demanding and stressful. So I'm just glad that we were able to turn that around in that regard.
When we think about the status of the department, kind of the state of the state, the department, you have to point to staffing levels being so much more improved as a real accomplishment in the last few years that you've been the chief. And I can sense that in your conversations, Chris. Besides the staffing being closer to where it ought to be and should be, and that's always going to be a goal and a challenge for whoever's in your seat, what are some other accomplishments that, that you would point to when you look back? I know you've instituted the shot spotter system. I know you've had other programs put in place during your tenure. What are some other moments that you're most accomplishments you're most proud of, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you know, doubling the shot spotter coverage area. You know, shot spotter's been very effective for us. We had a one coverage area that the city went to in 2021, I believe. And you know, it was a very well-placed coverage area. And what happens there is there's sensors that listen for gunshots and can, within that coverage area, can really narrow down to almost the exact location where it was at, how many shots were fired, if it was an automatic or semi-automatic, or if there was more than one gun involved. So that really cut down the time, our response time, and made us more effective in responding to those calls, recovering evidence, getting to victims if there were any, and recovering firearms. So the city wanted to double that, and you know, had overwhelming support of our council and the mayor and the city manager, as well as the citizens. So we were able to double that coverage area, which covers a significant portion of the city, and that you know, that took a lot of work as far as, like, had to go out and get permissions, where to put sensors and things like that. So that took a lot of community support too, because we were asking people to put sensors on a building or a house.
Sure.
And they were willing to do that. So that was great.
And it's really had a big impact then on the community, your ability to identify possible incidences and respond to them quickly. That's a big plus.
Right. And you know, you can't argue with the effect that it had on our shots fired calls of service. Now, has it been solved? No, we still have an issue. But in 2020, we had 80 shots fired incidents. In 2021, which is around the time ShotSpotter was implemented, dropped to 60. And now we hover in the upper 20s, you know, to, I think it's been in the upper 20s since then. So, I mean, still not good enough. Because in my opinion, zero shots fired is where I would like to be.
Sure.
But you can't argue with the fact that it's definitely helped us with that.
Chief Schoenberger, when you look ahead, the next person who will be in this job and for years beyond, what do you see ahead in the way of challenges for law enforcement in general and maybe even law enforcement here in Freeport? What are some of the challenges that you think we'll have to deal with?
Well, I think we're always going to have just a challenge with getting qualified applicants or even applicants. We just had a testing process on Saturday. We had four people show up and actually one just already withdrew himself. So, I mean, we have three openings right now. We have three that passed the test, three that showed up. So we feel real confident about that. But I mean, when I tested, you know, back in the late '90s, there was 90 people that showed up.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, I mean, that's something that, we're always, not just here, but everywhere is always going to battle is, and it's not just law enforcement, it's everywhere, having qualified applicants or even any applicants at all. Another thing is just, I think battling like, well, not really battling, but I think it's more encouraging is the use of technology, the use of AI. I mean, we really need to harness, you know, what that, what the capabilities that it can have for us. And that's something that we're looking to explore with some of our appropriations money with a program called Resource Router.
Speaking of technology, you folks have body cameras, you have car cameras, you have all the latest kind of equipment, don't you, now at this point, Chief, to help you with law enforcement?
Right. So we've been a body camera department for 10 years, despite the state mandating it, you know, with the Safety Act. I mean, we've had body cameras for the past 10 years.
So in a sense, you've been ahead of the curve a little bit on some of that.
Yeah, and we've had squad video cameras since I've been here. So, you know, we've always had that, but technology is getting so much better, especially when it comes to cameras, that, you know, the more cameras we have, the better off we feel. So not only does it improves transparency in our relationship with the public, but it also helps us feel safer because it really cuts down on complaints against officers when you have body camera footage to dispute that.
I'm going
to
put you on the spot a little bit here, Chris. If you had one wish, you could wave a wand and have one wish that would really help law enforcement throughout the community here in Freeport, what would it be?
Oh, geez. People, you know, I think it's more of, you know, internally, people being more accountable for their actions, people, you know, respecting people. I think we've really lost that, not here, but everywhere as a society. You know, it's just a lack of respect for people. Everybody wants to get on social media and you know, spread, you know, whatever they want to do, that's fine. But I mean, that's their right. But it just, there's just no respect for anyone. And people are just quick to resolve conflicts in you know, violent ways. And I just wish we were more empathetic and more apt to listening and respecting people than just, you know, being angry and hating everybody.
That's well said. And I think we see that played out even at regional and national levels, don't we?
Almost definitely. Yeah.
A quickness to turn to some violent means of resolving an argument, a disagreement, or a different point of view. And we lash out in mean, hurtful ways rather than in constructive, building ways. And that's got to be hard for folks in law enforcement to deal with that kind of trend, I guess, in society.
Yeah. I mean, we get calls about that all the time. And, you know, it would definitely cut down on our calls for service if people would just learn to respect each other and treat each other with kindness.
Yeah. We're nearing the end of the interview here, Chris. I'm wondering, what are you going to miss? What is it about this job that it's going to be hard to put to the side when you retire?
For me, it's 100% the people that are in this building. That's why I come to work. I enjoy, you know, seeing them and being around them. They're like family to me. As far as, you know, being accountable for 65 employees and, being the person who, you know, is accountable for everything that happens in the city, I'm not going to miss that. I'm sorry, but I most definitely am going to miss, you know, seeing the people in this building. I feel like we've got some of the best people on the face of this planet that work here and have worked here. And it's, you know, it's been basically my home for me, especially in the last 2.5 years. It seems like I spend more time here at 320 West Exchange Street than I do at my actual house.
Well, Chris, on behalf of our Freepod listeners and the citizens of Freeport, thanks so much for all of your years of service as a law enforcement officer and most recently as chief of the police department here in Freeport. Congratulations on a job well done. And thank you so much for your dedication and efforts and commitment you've made on our behalf. That's much appreciated, Chris.
All right. Thank you very much too. And, you know, we were in, I was in Leadership Institute.
Yes, you were.
And I know we've talked about this before, but yes. I just find how cool it is that when I did my presentation on ShotSpotter back then, you know, how we were able to see that get implemented here. And, so I'd like to bring that up, just, the impact that leadership has too. You know, it helps you, the Leadership Institute helps you, think outside of the box and, you know, make connections in the community. Some of the people that I met through there, you know, I wouldn't have met otherwise. So, mm-hmm.
Chris, I appreciate that. Shout out to the Leadership Institute. It's still going strong. And one of the assignments in the class was to identify a vision that you had for improving some aspect of where you work, and then to present that vision to the class and try to sell us on it as though we were the audience that you had intended to give it to. And so we pretended to be your superiors in the police department and police officers, and you made the pitch and it went over very well. And I'm so pleased that once you got out of the class, you were able to carry that vision to the appropriate folks and to get it done. That's a real positive check mark on your side, Chris, for your tenacity and making sure that you saw that through to conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I remember a lot of the stuff that we learned there, and it just had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, it was a good class, a good group. Well, Chris, so nice talking to you. I'm going to miss these periodic interviews that we do, but there'll be someone who comes along who will step into the job and do it in their own way and do it to the best of their ability. But again, Chris, thank you so much for your support over the years and for all that you've done. And best of luck to you and your family as you proceed into this next phase of your life and head out the door and open the door to some new opportunities. Good for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. But I just would like to say too, that, you know, the police department's built for transition. You know, we train people under us how to do our positions. You know, the deputy chief, he's directly underneath me. He's been in that position for 6 years. He knows what I do. I mm-hmm. know what he does. And that's the way it should be. We do that from the deputy chief down the lieutenants to the sergeants. So the police department will be fine. They'll find somebody, the appointee, who will be the right person and continue to do, continue the momentum that we have here and just keep our goals and objectives and be committed to our mission to drive us forward.
On that note, Chris, we'll end the interview. Thank you so much. Well said. The interviews that we do on an extended basis drop every Thursday at noon. For those of you who would like to listen to future interviews, or if you'd like to check out past interviews, go to our website at freepod.org, and you can find all of our interviews archived there for you. A reminder also that our regular newscast will drop every Tuesday at noon on all of your favorite platforms for podcasts. And again, this is Alan Wenzel thanking you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you.